Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Well, before the energy shortage and rising inflation prices and the supply chain bottlenecks, there was the global semiconductor crunch that really brought a number of industries across the world to their knees, with many scrambling to try and secure much-needed chips from auto parts to personal computers. And a lot of these massive chip makers also really gasping for air and trying to meet this sudden demand. And apparently, the global semiconductor shortage could continue well into next year. But how exactly did we get here? And what will this mean for the number of Singapore players that actually figure very prominently within the global semiconductor supply chain? Well, today on Money FM 89.3, we're pleased to be joined by Mr. Soon Gi Chua, a senior partner for the communications, media and telco practice at Kearney. He's here to talk to us about how exactly we got to this predicament and what the way out might be for markets and for the sector moving forward. Mr. Chua, thank you so much for joining us. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are still safe and in good health during these times. And welcome to the show, sir. Hope you're having a good Thursday afternoon.
Having me on the show.
All right. So first off, Mr. Chua, talk to us. How exactly did we get to this predicament, this global chip shortage that really has struck fear across production lines in almost every sector in almost every country?
Well, a few things are happening here. So firstly, there is a rise in the structural demand for chips. So chips in computers that use more during the pandemic, chips in phones. So a 5G phone would use about 40% more chips than the 4G phone. In gaming consoles, even in cars, right? So the cars now have a lot more electronics, and EVs and AVs and all that would all have electronics. So you have, on one hand, a rising demand. And on the other hand, you have a supply that's essentially underinvested and fractured. So for quite a while, the chip makers have been underinvesting, especially in the more mature and the lower end chips. So the older 8-inch wafers, was underinvested. The more mature nodes, like the 28nm, is underinvested. And on a supply chain perspective, if we recall during the pandemic, essentially the cars industry was shut down for a while because people weren't going out there to buy cars. So for a while, there was no chip orders coming from them, and they were placed at the end of the queue. So when that demand came back, they couldn't put themselves back at the front of the queue. So and of course, now you have all the supply chain, port blockages. You have the U.S.-China trade war where, some of the chip makers in China was blacklisted. So you have all these things basically converging to basically create a perfect storm for the chip shortages.
I'm trying to look for a better term to describe the global semiconductor supply chain here, Mr. Chua, and the only word I can think of is a chunky. Because if there's something we've actually realized is that there's only a handful of contract fabricators, equipment makers, who really seem to hold the fate of many industries in the palm of their hands. I'm talking about Taiwan Semiconductor, ASML, the only game in town in the Netherlands who produces those ultraviolet lithography machines. The question now is, and this is actually a question that my father raised when I brought this story up with him, actually, how difficult is it to replicate what these big fab manufacturers and these equipment makers bring to the table with regards to helping expand and meet some of these demands?
Well, I think to answer the question, we need to look at the history of semiconductors. So there used to be many fabs. And then, as you would probably know, there are we have this very famous semiconductor cycles where, it's from Fees to Fairmine, and it takes basically 5 or 6 years. So over time, the industry has consolidated. So there are only a few strong players that have the money and to invest in the leading fabs. And, so essentially the bottleneck now is in the foundries, of which, you're right, TSMC is dominant, and a lot of the foundries are actually located in Taiwan, China, and Korea. And then similarly, in terms of the equipment that goes into these foundries, ASML is dominant. Right? So it's not that easy to displace the leading players because semiconductor is a very technologically intense industry. So with many years of R&D and billion-dollar investments behind the innovations. That said, a lot of the demand that we are seeing is for what I'll term as lower-end chips that is not as technologically complex. So it is possible for other industries, if they invest, of our other industry players is to invest to be able to meet that demand. So, for example, the Chinese players are building their own semiconductor supply chain big time. You have non-leading players such as the Japanese players or the ST Microelectronics and Texas Instruments that would be able to produce those chips if they invest.
All right. We're still speaking to Soon-Gi Chua, the senior partner at Kearney, about the global semiconductor shortage here on Money FM 89.3. And, you know, Mr. Chua, you just have to take a look at places like Tampines, for instance, in Pasir Ris, just to get an understanding of how big a footprint semiconductors actually have in Singapore as well. We're very well connected to the global semiconductor supply chain. But help us understand or elaborate just what our role is in this broad semiconductor supply chain and how vulnerable we might be actually to these.
Well, I mean, according to the EDB,
sure.
Singapore accounts for about 5% of the global wafer fab capacity.
I see.
And close to 20% of the global semiconductor equipment market share. So you have foundries and you have equipment makers such as GlobalFoundries, Micron, Applied Materials, JCET, which used to be called ChipPAC, over here in Singapore. And then you also have some of the smaller players that support this global players, right? They make the components, the tools that goes into this. So it is a pretty significant part of our manufacturing exports for Singapore.
Absolutely. And in fact, when we look at exports here in Singapore, if there's one thing that's been rather strong is the non-oil domestic exports. Of course, semiconductors also playing a big role in that. But overall, Mr. Chua, has the semiconductor shortage been a good or a bad thing for Singapore's industries? Now, on one hand, the demand for chips and components has surged and bolstered exports for this country. But our industry here, who are dependent on, say, microchips, also been affected negatively. As we say, we've seen it impact, say, automotive production lines or, say, the factories that produce some of the iPhones and personal computers out there. Are some industries here being affected negatively then?
Well, I mean, in general, the global chip demand has been positive for Singapore. So Singapore has been reporting monthly growth in Nodex, as if noted, and that's been going on for the past 8-9 months now. And a large part of it comes from our electronics and semiconductor sector, right? So these are the sectors that's been pumping out the chips and the components that go into it. But continued chip shortage and also the supply chain challenges will eventually hurt Singapore and make its growth slower. And that's because many of our electronics and components industry, and this could be plastics or metals, they supply to the global automotive, home automation, and phone companies. So what they have been expressing is that they have been slowly seeing a slowdown in orders from their customers, which are not able to assemble their products due to shortage of semiconductor chips. So, for example, it's been estimated that $200 billion of lost auto sales has been the result of the chip shortage. And the lost auto sales, you basically have then lost components orders, which would eventually trickle back to Singapore. So I think in the long term, it will probably translate into slower growth from Singapore if we don't sort out the supply chain challenges.
All right. You know, this semiconductor shortage has been going on for quite a while, Mr. Chua. We've seen a lot of companies begin to start expanding their capacity, TSMC building factories in Japan and the U.S., the likes of Apple and Hyundai also saying, hey, you know what, we're going to start building our own semiconductors in-house. Now, you did mention that it's a feast or famine industry when you look at the business cycle. My question now is, with efforts to expand capacity wrapping up, billions of dollars in investment at the moment, could we possibly see in the next 2 to 3 years a potential supply glut hit markets and then hit some of these semiconductor firms negatively speaking? And given the history of this industry, how do you think this might actually fall out if it's a possibility?
Yes, there's always a possibility because historically the industry has moved in cycles of 5 to 6 years, and they're seeing companies committing billions in foundry capacity. TSMC committing $100 billion in capex over the next 3 years. You have the Chinese players building on their own semiconductor supply chain. You have the Europeans and the U.S. attempting to attract more fab investments on its own continent to limit the supply risk. However, it is also true that with the proliferation of chips in everything that we own, so cars, IoT, phones, the market is expected to triple in the next 5, 6, 7 years. So we can also argue that all the suppliers are able to be only catching up with demand. And also based on our observation and what the industry players are doing. I mean, they have learned a lot of hard lessons from the past, and they've observed that many players, especially the smaller ones, have been more cautious about adding capacity. So, yes, there's always a risk of a supply glut, but I think in the short term, at least, you're likely to see supply still continuing to catch up with demand.
All right, and we'll be monitoring those big feast or famine cycles that might be about 5 or 10 years in very closely as we monitor also this global semiconductor shortage. Mr. Sun-ji Chua, Senior Partner for Communications, Media and Telecommunications at Kearney, thank you so much for joining us today on Money at FM 88.3 to chat about global semiconductors and the current shortage or chip crunch. As always, I wish you and loved ones continued health and safety during these times. We look forward to next time you can join us on the show. Have a good Thursday ahead, sir.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.